If you're visiting with us, like I said, we are in the middle of a series. It's a mini-series, a three-part mini-series. And last week I started introducing the subject of first fruits. The reason why we do this is because there are a lot of people that are new to the family that need to understand the culture of giving. But maybe some of you have been giving. Like, I know this house is a generous house. Yeah, that's a good place to say amen. You are a generous people. We have seen it over the years. The projects that we do, you fund, you give over and above. I know some people that literally go beyond measure to advance the kingdom of God. When they hear that there is something, they give. So this house is generally a generous house. By all standards, we are a generous people. But there is a level of giving that we need to understand as we go into the last days, the end time move of God. It requires another level of generosity. It requires another level of stewardship. I really believe that, I said last week that, you know, there is a need for reformation in our finances. We need to bring finances to order. And before we can speak about how the nations and the governments of this world deal or handle our finances or our resources as a nation or as a people group, we need to first learn to manage our finances in-house. Before you criticize the Reserve Bank, before you criticize the Treasury, before you have all those opinions, how faithful are you with the little that God has given you? Because before we can call the nations to order, we have to bring our own houses in order. Amen. I told you how in our house, this principle, financial principles we are imparting to these three nations, these three kids that you see, we already begin to impart in them financial principles that are contrary to the world system. Because we want them to be kingdom people. We want them to advance the kingdom. We want them to build the kingdom. But we know that for them to do that effectively, they need to know how to manage their finances. We teach them delayed gratification. We teach them tithes, offerings. We teach them first fruits. And now especially we've started just really imparting the knowledge of first fruits. So today I want to speak to you on the subject, more excellent giving. We are in the series First Fruits. If you are new to this concept, if you're visiting the church, please give us grace. We don't always talk about money. I know when people visit a church and they hear the pastor talking about money, they're like, okay, let's look for another church. I promise you, in this church, we only preach about money. Probably this is the only time I do a series in the beginning of the year. That's it. We've got 52 Sundays. We'll probably preach about finances, maybe 3-4 Sundays, that's all. And not because it's not important. Money is very, very important. If you read the scriptures, Jesus spoke about money. He didn't shy away from the subject of money. He spoke more about money than he spoke about love. No, it's true. It's true. Right? Read the scriptures. You would address financial matters everywhere you went because finances are very, very important. We spoke last week, as I quickly recap and help you catch up, we spoke about how the rich young ruler was very wealthy, and in all standards we thought he had a lot of possessions, but the truth is his possessions had him. Because when God asked him to give of his possessions, he could not give. And I told you how the spirit of mammon wants to be a master over you. It wants to rule over you. Let me tell you this. Your money wants to control you. Some of you cannot make one single decision without thinking about your money. That's what mammon wants to do. A spirit of mammon wants to control every aspect of your life. So this young ruler was happy to obey 6 out of the 10 commandments. But when he was told to go and sell his possessions and give to the poor, he chose to go to hell. It's like, I'm not gonna wait for eternal. Because here's what Jesus said to him. He says, go and sell so that I can give you eternal wealth. He says, I don't want eternal wealth. You were sad and he left. And many people will leave the church when you talk about money. I'm glad people, we've got a full house. I'm glad people didn't stay away from church, because last week we were talking about finances. I was joking about maybe the church was going to get less because, you know, let's wait until the pastor finishes this series and come back. But hey, you turned out in your numbers and new people are coming. This is great. This is great. Amen. Because finances matter. We said where your heart is, there also your treasure will be. So if your heart is in the kingdom, we need to find, if we look at your bank statement, your treasure flows towards the kingdom. If your treasure is flowing further and further away from the kingdom of God, you can argue with me, but Jesus says this is the indicator, the litmus test of whether whether you really have your heart vested in God is where is your money going. It's so easy to say, I love God with all my heart. It's so easy to say God comes first. It's easier said. But when we look at your resources, where is your money going? Who is your real master? So the direction, the general direction of your cash flow reveals to us who your true master is. So today I want to talk about more excellent giving, because we are a generous people, we give. But how many of you know that there is a more excellent way? There's a more excellent way. And when I talk about these things, for some of you, you've already started practicing this. I received already the first fruits offering. Some people started giving because it's now a part of them. They don't wait for me to teach on first fruits. They just give first fruits. Because it's now a culture. Giving has to become a culture that, as I say to you, during lockdown, the 2 years that we were operating online, we never advertised that you need to give. We never pushed for offerings, and yet people continue to give. And that's what told me that we've got a generous house. I told you that we came out of lockdown, hard lockdown, when everybody was complaining. We came out of hard lockdown more financially stronger than how we went in. That tells me we are a generous people. When everybody was like, okay, we don't know what the world is going to look like tomorrow, let's hold back, you guys continued to be generous and continued to give. That we were amazed at how God has given. This is like, you know, when Paul speaks of the Macedonian church, that's how I felt. When I speak to other pastors and I tell them about our congregation, I'm like, we are in a small town. We're not as big as you guys, but I promise you, our people are generous. And I love saying that because that's true. I've seen it. I've been in many meetings where pastors are complaining about loss of income, cut salaries and things like that. We didn't. We gave our people bonuses because God has been so good. But there is a more excellent way. For some of you, you've already understood it. You do it. Some of you are still sitting on the fence. You've heard me preach. This thing we have preached for 11 years now. I preach about first fruits every year. Some people are getting it and they are operating out of that and they are being blessed. And others are still saying, well, Pastor Justin, I can't. Well, it's up to you. We don't force you. We never force anybody to give anything. So it's important to understand the principles of more excellent giving. More excellent giving. So let me give you examples of excellent things. The Bible speaks of the number three as a number that belongs to God. It is a divine number. It represents the tripartite nature of God, or the threefold nature of God. God is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want to quickly just show you a few things that reveal God's prophetic plans and purposes in this threefold dimension. This is a dimension of excellent things. So for argument's sake, let's start with the obvious one, the Godhead. The Bible says God is three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a perfect union right there. The constitution of man. We are made spirit, soul, body. Three parts. The covenant of the blessing that was released over Israel is traced and expressed in three generations. So the patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When we look at the tabernacle, The place, the house of God, is built in three dimensions. It had the outer court, the inner court, or what they called the holy place, and the holy of holies, or the most holy place. Three dimensions. When you look at the feasts of Israel, there were seven key feasts in Israel, but three of them were the major feasts. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Three major feasts. Those patterns are significant. You see them over and over again. You look at the office of Jesus. Jesus is known to us as prophet, king, and priest. Three dimensions. And I could go on forever. The kingdom of God is expressed in righteousness, peace, and joy. Three dimensions. When we look at the standards of prosperity and increase, the Bible says of Isaac, in a year of famine, he sowed a seed, and the Bible says he prospered in three dimensions. He became rich, he grew rich, and he became wealthy. That's in Genesis chapter number 26 and 13. That's the progression. When he started sowing seeds, the Bible says he became rich, very rich, and he became wealthy. Three dimensions. That's the measure of God. When we talk about kingdom harvest, Jesus says there is a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Three dimensions. When we talk about giving, I'm saying all this because when we talk about giving, most people only have two dimensions to their giving. They speak of tithes and offerings. That's the two-dimensional giving. It's not complete. The more excellent giving must be threefold, which is first fruits, tithes, and offerings. That's the more excellent way of giving. But for many, many, many years, the church forgot about first fruits, and we started operating in two dimensions. And we can be blessed in two dimensions, but we still have a dimension that's missing. It's like going to church and being allowed to be only in the outer court because you understand the one dimension. They had great fellowship in the outer court. But there was another level in the inner court. And then there was even a better level in the Holy of Holies. And that's why Jesus made it possible for you not just to come to the tabernacle and dwell on the outer court. He tore the veil so that you have access to the third dimension. And so in your finances, there is a veil that keeps you in one dimension. Other people, your dimension might be just offerings, because offerings are free will. You give what you want. I know most Christians just want to give out of a free will, which is good. Like, I just want to give what I feel. Like, if I feel to give like 20 cents, 2 mites, you know, it's okay. I'm still a giver. You're still a giver. But that's free will. Tithing then becomes another dimension. Some people have not even unlocked the dimension of tithes. They just live by... You're still a generous person, but you're just an offering giver. Then there's a dimension called tithes. And then there is the more excellent dimension called first fruits. Three dimensions. And so in these last days, we need to understand all three dimensions. I don't want to make this. I've done like an 8-part, 9-part series on finances. And we're going to try and have it ready for you guys if you want to go back, or maybe we'll do a new take. But for the sake of what we're talking about right now, The third dimension, which is first fruits, is often neglected. Often neglected. People don't even talk about first fruits. I say to you last week, some people actually confuse their tithes with first fruits. They think, oh, just because I tithe, I give first fruits. Those are two distinct things. It's different. And God made it different for a reason, and we'll show you that as we go on with the series. So, the two dimensions. Let's look at the two dimensions, because everybody understands these two dimensions. And many of us are actually operating within those two dimensions because of fear of the curse. And I want to lift that fear off you. If you don't give, you're not cursed. Say amen. I don't know how to help you. I'm just telling you, you're not cursed if you don't give. I know in the old religious system, we were told that, oh, if you don't give, you're cursed. But no, if you understand the New Testament, it says that he became a curse so that the blessing of Abraham may rest upon you. You are too blessed to be cursed. I'm looking for the amen somewhere. You're too blessed to be cursed. You're already blessed. But when you understand these principles, you begin to live out of that blessing more easily, in and out. And most people are blessed, but they are blessed, but they don't know that they are blessed. So I want to say to you, we're not operating under the curse. We're not trying to get you blessed. You're already blessed. You see, we give not to be blessed because Christ has already blessed us. We give out of the revelation that we are blessed. What does the... let me help you. The Bible says he became a curse so that the blessing of Abraham may rest upon you. What was the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham meant this: I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. All the nations will be blessed because of you. Tell your neighbor, you are blessed because of me. When God wants to bless Port Alfred, he takes Christians and places them in that community. And he says, because I've already blessed them, if these guys obey my principles and my commands, the entire town will be blessed because of them. If we are going to change the economy of the nation, we have to understand that we are already blessed. And because we are blessed, we operate out of the blessing of God and we enforce kingdom rules over our environments. My neighbor must know that I'm blessed. When I invite my neighbor for a braai, I spoil him big time because he needs to know that I'm blessed of God. Oh, yes. I want the street kid, when they come to me, to know that I serve a God who has blessed me. That's why I'm generous. You are blessed so that you can become a blessing. If you are not a blessing, you don't understand that you are blessed. I invite people almost every week at our house. And somebody asks me, how do you do that? Food is expensive. I'm blessed. And I live out of the understanding that I'm blessed. And I'm going to make sure that everybody who comes near me knows that I'm blessed. And how do I do that? It's not showing off. You do that by simply obeying God. Drop R1,000 and act like it was an accident. Those were the things I told you last week. Those were the things that God was teaching the nation of Israel. Give offerings, free will offerings. I've said this over years to this day. 11 years I've been saying to you, if you want to see how I live out this, come with me when I'm putting fuel in my car. Fuel attendants run to my car. Because if I put a full tank, I give them 10% of that amount. They wonder, what are you? Are you can't calculate properly. I'm like, no, I know what I'm doing. Accidentally, on purpose. I'm blessed. They run. Ask my kids. They know. They call me boss. I call them boss. Like, yes, boss. They run. When I have a meal somewhere, I want the waiter to know I'm blessed. I don't have to tell them that I'm a Christian. But I'm not going to complain when I'm giving 10%. I want to give 15%. I want to do something that makes the waiter say, but what's the matter with you? Who are you? I'm Abraham's descendant. I'm blessed to become a blessing. So I don't give because I want to be blessed. I give because I know who I am. And I'm not bragging. The times when I don't have. But I promise you. By default, we live in the revelation. I've said this every Christmas. I go, look. When it's time for shopping, I want to deliberately, accidentally, on purpose, stand behind somebody that looks like they're struggling to put ends meet. And I will say, I'm paying for that trolley as well. I do that. I've told you these things. I still do that. It's not like I only say it once a year. I do it every Christmas. I want to be generous. I'm waiting and I'm like, okay, I'm seeing, who am I going to stand next to? This one looks like, you know, granny here is trying to put a little bit of a Christmas package for their children. I stand behind them or in front of them. When I pay, I say to the guy, usually behind them, when the tailor finishes doing what she's doing, the teller, finishes what she's doing, I say, you can pick your things and go. They didn't expect that. Well, no, just go. Just go. Then I add my stuff on that and I pay. I am blessed to be a blessing. That's the blessing of Abraham. So when we talk, when you teach these principles, I'm not saying do this to be blessed. You're already blessed. So if you're doing this out of the fear of a curse, you don't even know who you are. Jesus said you're no longer cursed. But when you know that you're blessed, if you knew that you had $1 million in your account, how would you behave? Don't wait until you have $1 million, because you've got more than $1 million in your heavenly account. Yeah, all right, I'm now on a tangent. Help me, Holy Spirit. Is it a good one? Thank you for encouraging me. So in Malachi 3 and verse 8, it says, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So the first two dimensions, if you don't understand them, you become a robber. Don't worry about the curse. What you need to worry about is God is asking, really? Are you serious that you are arming yourself? Putting on that big mask and breaking into the vaults of heaven to rob God? That's what happens in the spirit realm when you withhold tithes and offerings. You're robbing God. I don't wanna rob God. I wanna freely receive from God. I don't wanna take by force. When you refuse to pay your tithes, you're simply saying, God, I know you said you're gonna bless me, but I can't wait. I'm just gonna rob you. I'll take what belongs to you and call myself blessed. That's what you do. Those are the first two dimensions. But what I want you to see here is withholding your tithes and offerings will make you a robber, a thief. But when you withhold your first fruits, you dishonor God. One of the revelations that I've come to understand is this. Your tithes and offerings, when you withhold them, you rob God. But when you withhold first fruits, you rob yourself. Proverbs. You rob yourself. Because, I'm going ahead of myself, but anyway, I hope it makes sense. You know, when you give tithes, you are looking backwards. Tithe is the tenth. It's after God has given you. You know, it's like if I make a deal with you, let's go into business together, Nick. And if we make money, 10% belongs to you. I'm like, cool. I don't owe you nothing until we make money. And when we make money, I'm like, hey, we agreed. You funded this thing. Here's your 10%. That's good. But when I withhold that 10%, I'm now robbing you. You're like, hey, you're cheating me of what is rightfully mine. Now, first fruits, on the other hand, is futuristic. You don't give from what God has already done in that sense. You don't have it. You just have the first. And you're saying, I choose to honor God with my first fruits. I'm giving into the future. I'm investing. So it's like, how many of you, okay, you don't ask these things in church. You know, if you have an investment account, how many of you know that you can be blessed? You and I can be blessed, but if you have an investment account, you are more blessed because you have the account. Because what you've decided to do is you've taken some of what you have and you've put into an investment for the future. When the future comes, you start reaping the harvest, and I'm looking, I'm like, how do you do that? You're like, it's called investing. And that's what first fruits is. First fruits is actually saying, I don't know what the rest of the year is going to look like, but I believe in who holds the year. And I'm banking on God's goodness. I know that no matter what happens, God is going to be good. And I can put my money on it. It's going to be good. Come rain, come sunshine, no matter what the economy does, I know He's always going to be good. And that's what you do with your first fruits. And when you withhold that, you rob yourself. Let's look at, if you understand the book of Malachi, from which this concept of giving comes from. In Malachi chapter number 1, he gives us more of an insight of this type of offering called first fruits. Let me tell you, in verse 6, go with me, Malachi 1 verse 6, he says, a son honors his father, a servant his master. If I am then the father, where is my honor? If I'm a master, where is my reverence? I wish I had time to teach you all these concepts, because first fruits comes from the revelation of God as Father. So when you withhold first fruits, you withhold honor. God is saying, yeah, you go around telling everybody, God is my Father, God comes first, and he's asking, if I am truly first, where are the first fruits? If I am really your Father, where is the honor due to me as a Father? It's easy to say God is Father. Let me tell you this. In the Hebrew, the word for Father is Abba. A-B. From which we get Abba. Right. That word literally means, among many other things, first. It's speaking of God as the progenitor. The one, the source of everything that comes after. So when you say Abba, you are saying, Father, you are first. I told you last week that I live out of the revelation that God is my Father, and because I put him first, all these other things will be added unto me. That's why I do what I do. It's a revelation that God is a Father. If God is a Father, God says, if you've been evil, all of you who are fathers here, even if you're going through a hard time, when your child asks you for bread, you don't take stones and give them. You make a plan because you are a father. Like, hey, that I brought that child into being, I have to make a plan. So God says, if you being evil, no matter how good you are, he says, you being evil, if you don't give your child a stone when they ask for bread, how much more me? I'm a good God. If I'm a father, I owe it to myself to look after you. So when I know that God is my Father, I'm not worried about what the need is, because I have to just go to the Father and say, Father, I have need of. Do not be anxious. Do not worry about tomorrow, because your God looks after you. Looks after you. But it's a revelation, a truth that you have to believe. The reason why I'm hardly stressed over things like this is I believe his Father. The times when I'm sitting at home and things are not balancing, ask my wife. I don't run around like a headless chicken. I just like, well, his Father. The best I can do is to run on my knees and say, God, you know. You can see what's happening. Sometimes he comes through the midnight hour, but I know he will always come through. Because he's a good Father. So Father means that he is first. And so God is asking you, if I'm really first, you say it with your mouth. If I am Abba, if I am first, where is the honor due to me? And then the famous scripture says, honor God with your first fruits. You honor the Father with your first fruits. Not your tithes, not your offerings, your first fruits. The first belongs to he who comes first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all these things will be added. Who do you seek first? Some of you seek other things first. Now, very quickly, the children of Israel were expected to give the first of everything to God. This thing is crazy. Let me read this scripture for you. I wish I had time to really unpack these scriptures, but I've got lots of scriptures and lots of material to give you. Get the book by Randolph Barnwell, First Fruits. All these scriptures are there as well. Ezekiel chapter number 44. Listen to this. This is serious, man. God says, and the first fruits of all, or the first rather, and the first of all the first fruits of all kinds. Not some, all kinds, whatever comes first. Every offering, all kinds from your offerings shall belong to the priests. You shall also give to the priests the first of your dough. God is so meticulous about first fruits. He says, if you bake a cake, the first one belongs to the Lord. Now you understand why the widow was blessed when Elijah said to the widow, you go inside. The widow said, I've got only a little bit of oil. I'll make my last cake and die. Then Elijah said, go inside, do as you have said, but bring it first to me. And you're like, yo, that prophet is greedy. He's not merciful. But what the prophet was trying to teach the widow is, if you honor God with your first fruits, you will never run out. And this is what Ezekiel says. Ezekiel says, they belong, you shall also give to the priest the first of your doors, that a blessing may rest on your house. When you honor God with your first fruits, there's a rest, a blessing that permanently rests upon your life. Like, really, God, do you really mind if I have my first cake? It's like, yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about the freedom of what we have under Christ. But I want to show you how serious this matter was in the Old Testament. The first of everything belongs to God. I love what the King James Version says. It says, all that opens the matrix belongs to the Lord. Talking of first fruits, the matrix is a counting system. So first in any counting system belongs to the Lord. He said, do you know that he said, even your firstborn belongs to me? That's why he asked Abraham to surrender Isaac. And throughout the nation of Israel, if you had a boy as your first child, that child belonged to the Lord. And some cultures practiced this for years. The reason why we had pastors in some families is because every family believed that if we have a firstborn, they must serve the Lord. And here's how the Lord said, if you had a girl for your first child, you had to redeem the girl. Like, you don't say, well, you know, my firstborn is a girl, so I don't give first fruits. You say, hey, go and get something and substitute, because the first belongs to me. If you had a donkey, I told you about a donkey the other day, and I don't know what sermon it was. If you had a first donkey, God said, I don't want your donkey, but you gotta redeem it. If you can't redeem it, kill it. You can't keep the first. It must go to the one who comes first. And the principle behind that was this: God always wanted to be first in their lives. He wants to be first in your life. And he wants everything that comes first in your life to become his, so that you will always put God first. Because the moment something becomes first, that begins to compete with God. If your job is now first, I promise you, God is no longer first. Oh yeah, Pastor, I can't come to church on Sunday because I'm working. Oh yeah, that's the only day I can rest. Oh, that's because something else is now first. And God said, to prevent that from happening, everything that comes first in your life, surrender it to me. Then your heart will always be pure. You don't have to. Here's what I say to people. If you manage to give of your first fruits and the first of all that you have to God, you don't have to worry about all the other things. They just follow suit, because the first determines the rest. If you can give first fruits, you don't worry about tithes and offerings. You don't worry about being stingy. It's just like it follows, because the first determines the rest. So in Malachi, he says, in Malachi 1, that they asked him in verse 6, in what way do we despise you? He says, you offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? And he says in verse 8, you offer the blind as a sacrifice. Is it not evil when you do that? In other words, all these are terminologies that if you go back to the first fruits, you are not allowed to offer something that was deformed as a first fruit. You had to redeem it. But at this point, when Malachi is writing, people were like you and I today. Now we give God the leftover. You know, I do everything else, and then when I have a little bit of what's left over, that what I don't need, then I just, you know, tip God. And God said, hey, is that not evil? You're supposed to give me what comes first, the choicest, the best of the best. The first should come to me, and yet now you're giving me leftovers. Is that not evil? He's asking. It's just trying to help them understand how the love of money can creep into your life and begin to control everything that you do. So, for many of us, we have avoided the first fruits. I want to draw your attention to the story of Cain and Abel. We have the two dimensions, the tithes, the offerings, but we lack the third dimension. I'm going to read a few scriptures and I'm going to quickly come to a land. So come to landing. So just give me grace here. All right, so Genesis 4, verse 3 to 5. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the first fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought he brought the firstborn of his flock to the Lord. Then the Bible says, the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but not Cain. Now we're like, why? God, that's partiality. Two people come and they offer an offering. One is acceptable, one is not. What's the difference? Let me tell you. Hebrews chapter number 11. By faith, Abel offered to the Lord a more excellent offering. What made his more excellent? Threefold. Faith, obviously, every giving must happen by faith, but it was threefold. Remember, I told you the excellent things are threefold. So he gave threefold. He gave his first fruits, his tithes, his offerings. The Bible says of Cain, in the process of time, he decided, I'm just going to give what I want to give to the Lord. But Abel gave of his first fruits. And listen to this. He gave a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, plural. He gave one, and it calls it gifts. It's the more excellent giving. He gave the three offerings, first fruits, tithes, and offerings. And it was accepted. Now, in the natural, like I said, we can quickly look at that and say, yo, God, that's unfair. But God knew what he was talking about. It was about the more excellent things. The more excellent things are threefold. It requires faith to give of the first. It requires faith to give of the first. And we need to understand that when we give of our first fruits offering, we put in our faith completely in God for what is yet to come. Now, I've laid the foundation. I'm going to, in the next 10 minutes, put this to a way that you can kind of apply it in your life now. In the time of the Reformation, Hezekiah is busy reforming Israel. He's a king, he comes into power and he's beginning to reform Israel. One of the things that he did in his reformation process was to reform the financial structures of Israel. Nehemiah did the same thing. You all know that Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. But what you also need to understand is after he finished rebuilding the wall, he went to the treasury. And he says, guys, let's get these people to start operating again according to God's financial principles. And how they both did it, Hezekiah and Nehemiah, they did this by reintroducing first fruits, tithes, and offerings. They introduced those three things in order to restore the economy of Israel. And you can read it in your own time, but I'll read one of the scriptures for you. 2 Chronicles chapter number 31 and verse 4. It says, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support to the priests, to the Levites, that they may devote themselves to the law of God. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance first fruits of their grain, of wine and of oil, and all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly their tithes. And if you keep reading, they also speak of bringing again their offerings. Three measures that were restored after they finished rebuilding the nation. And I heard the Lord say, as we come out of this pandemic, and we are coming out of it. We're coming out of it. Oh yeah, the telltale signs are there. We're coming out of it. And as we are coming out of this, there's going to be a need for us to rebuild the economy of our nation. And for us to rebuild the economies, we don't go to the Reserve Bank and ask or borrow more money. We have to go back to the one who gives us the ability to make wealth. and say, God, we have been depressed for 2 years. We have suffered loss for 2 years. And it's now time for us to repair the breaches in our finances. It's time for us to go back and see how we've been stewards of what you gave us. There are people that are coming out of this crisis stronger than they went in. Because in the midst of the crisis, they decided they're going to honor God and apply kingdom principles to their finances. And so as you come out, as the church comes out, as the nations come out, we need to come and say, let's check, where are the breaches? Where are the walls broken in our finances? And if you are not giving in the threefold order, go and say, I need to repair this part. I need to repair this part. I need to repair this part. Because if the wealth of the wicked is going to come to the church, it's going to be given to those who know how to handle finances according to the plans and the purposes of God. I feel like preaching now. So if we need to rebuild the economy of this world, we need to first get our financial structures right. And that's what Hezekiah did. That's what Nehemiah did. Let's restore the principles first. And the Bible says immediately after circulation, everybody responded. Are you going to respond to this word immediately? Or are you going to sit back and say, let me work on it. But they responded immediately because they knew that if we do this, we will enter into the abundance of God. If we honor God with our finances, it doesn't matter what the world has gone through. We can recover. Oh, we're going to come out of this thing strong because we are choosing to honor God. And so, 3 times a year, the children of Israel had to appear before the Lord. You read this in Exodus chapter number 13 and chapter number 22. 3 times a year, they would appear before the Lord. And all times, they had to bring an offering. And that was a first fruit offering. Because the nation of Israel was an agricultural system. So they, in the first major feast, which is Passover, it will be the first harvest of their barley. So they would bring their barley offering. Then the second major feast, which was Pentecost, will be a time where they would have harvested wheat. It was called the harvest of weeks. They would bring the first fruits of their wheat. In the third major feast, which was Tabernacles, it was a time where their grapes and their olives were ripe. They would bring that to the Lord. 3 times a year, every man was expected to do that. Why? Because God was trying to teach them to honor Him in every season with their first fruits. So when I speak about first fruits, I'm trying to teach you to honor God with your first fruits. Now, there is this problem as I kind of try and, I'm speaking like a fool here, because these things you guys know, some of you know, some of you are new to this, but here's the thing, there's now the problem. Oh, well, was that Old Testament, Pastor Justin? That was Old Testament. We are now in the New Covenant. You said Jesus became. So do we still need to apply this? So the first question is, maybe not even the question. Let me first clarify. First fruits, tithes, and offerings existed before the law. The Bible says the law came through and grace came through. So who comes first, Cain or Moses? Who comes first, Abraham or Moses? So Abraham gave first fruits, tithes, and offerings before Moses was even born. So before the law was instituted, those who are spiritual can understand this. It was not after Moses. Moses only introduced it as a law, but it existed pre-Moses. It never was about the law. Moses made it a law to help people who had hard hearts. The Bible says the law is a schoolmaster. Because you could not learn by associating with God, generosity, Moses says, I will give you to a taskmaster that will whip your back so that you can get it. But initially, God said, I'm not going to teach you. Here is what blows my mind. Cain and Abel brought an offering without being taught about first fruits and and tithes and offerings. They did that. And yet God said he respects one or the other. In my circles, I would say, why are you holding somebody accountable to a truth that you have not taught them? But God said, because I am God. If they've been walking with me, if they've seen how I live my life, I expect out of the relationship that my goodness and my generosity would have rubbed onto them so that they were supposed to give the way I give without being taught. How do you judge somebody when you never taught them the principle? God says, well, I'm just that good. If they were walking with me, it's like if my kids tell me that, you know, you have never taught us to give. I'll say, how many times have you seen me give? So you see, some of you, you can't teach your kids these things because they see how stingy you are. No, I'm telling you. So when the pastor preaches and you say amen, they're like, yeah, really? Every time we go, you don't. My kids ask me if I walk past somebody, like, are you not going to give? I'm like, well, today God didn't move me. We have to debate why we didn't give that day. Not that I don't give. Sometimes I say, you give. We were on holiday the other time. The person was serving us. Their kid came to play with our children and had no shoes. True story. Eden goes and takes her brand new shoes, gives them to that kid. You can have these shoes. You know, when she came to tell us, you know, I'm giving away the shoes, you kind of like, you know, how much they cost, you know. You know, we just bought those things for you. But at the same time, we're thinking, hey, that's what we talk about. It's her, those are her pair of shoes. She can do whatever she wants. If she wants to walk barefoot, that's it. But the thing is, she knows I've got a father. If my father sees I've got no shoes, he'll give me another pair. But those are principles we learn out of doing life with God. You cannot do life with God and be stingy. You don't know him. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Doing life with God means that you give. You give of your first, you give of your all, you give just because you are in relationship with God. And nobody taught me. Do you know God? If you know him, you give. So tithes and offerings were not a law first. They were principles of the eternal nature of God. They came out of the Godhead, imparted things that we learned by proclivity. Just doing life with God. Like we start doing those things. Oh yeah, I see God does this every now and again. I also must do this. So when Cain is complaining that God loved Abel's offering, God says to Cain, if you do well, will you not also be accepted? I didn't teach this. I didn't make it a law. But this guy just did it. If you do the same, it's not law. So we don't give because there is a law. We don't give by obligation. We give because we are blessed. We love God. And out of our relationship with God, we live the way God intended us to live. God intended you to live your life generous. The worship team is coming up. God intended you to live your life generous. He intended people to come to your house and you're like, bring nothing. I just want to bless you. He expected you to come into contact with people that are in extreme poverty and your heart would break and say, what can I do to help? You're not going to alleviate poverty. Jesus even said, the poor you always have. But let the poor have a sense of relief when you walk in. Let them say, you know, when that guy visited our town, oh, we felt something, man. That day we had plenty of bread. We had extra to give other people because that guy is generous. You might have not solved the problem, but you have told them that there is a blessing that is yours in Christ. So first fruits, tithes and offerings. If you're still debating, here's what I say to Christians. Can I go there? I say I'm waiting for Christians that come and debate whether first fruits, tithes, offerings are New Testament or Old Testament, not because they want to give less. Because here's the New Testament standard. When they came to know Jesus Christ, they went and sold their houses. Why don't you come to me and say, Pastor Justin, this first fruit principle of just giving 1/40th or 1 week's salary is limiting me, man. I want to sell my house and come give you. I want to sell my car and come give you. But most of the people that are asking whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, they want to give less. In the New Testament, they gave over and above. They were expected to give first fruits, tithes and offerings. They said, well, that's cheap, man. God has been so good to us. We're just going to sell our whole houses and go give to the poor. It was one Sunday morning, the pastor is preaching and everybody says, you know what, I sold my house. And this one says, I also sold my house. You know, what do we need to do to advance the kingdom? That's Acts. That's the New Testament model. And you hear somebody saying, yeah, you know, is it New Testament or is Old Testament? I say, do you want to give more or less? Because if you want New Testament model, just go and sell your car and come talk to me about New Testament or Old Testament. Then I know you are serious about where the thing is. But the most of the people that are complaining New Testament, Old Testament, they want to be stingy because they don't know God. Because first fruits is coming next, not next week, the week after next, on the 6th of February. I'm going to give you the principle, even though I haven't fully developed it. I'm going to give it to you because some of you need to prepare. I don't want you to say, but we didn't know. First fruits, everybody will say, so now how do we calculate first fruits? Because, you know, they used to give of their crops. We don't get crops anymore. How do we do that? And historically, as Israel was moving from crops to other forms of income, they also asked the same question. How do we do this? And so there's literature, the DDK, the Talmud, I think it's called, a whole lot of literature that the rabbis released on how to work with this. I will teach you that concept in 2 weeks' time when we receive in. So I will explain this. But for the sake of those that are governed by their budgets, here's what I want to say to you. What would happen was the rabbis simply responded. There was a portion that I don't have time to explain now. So I'm only doing this for the benefit of those that budget, which is good. We always teach you guys to budget. We teach you guys to live out of what you have purposed in your heart. That's why I'm giving you the principle half cooked. So don't fight me. I am going to explain it later. Okay. But I'm just wanting to prepare you for what's coming. So what they used to do is they came to the agreement that it's either 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th. That's not 40%, that's not 50%, that's not 60%. 1/40th is just like a tiny part of your income. Very tiny. It's less than 2%. But here's how they did it. Every new year, they would give the first of the harvest. The reason why we teach it every new year is this. When you receive your first income, you then say, God, I'm trusting you for the rest of the income. And I'm not saying now take the full income and give it to the Lord. You are now saying, God, if I earn X amount, even though I'm not sure if I'm going to be paid next month or the month after, I am going to say my annual harvest. What is your annual harvest? And then you honor God with 2% of that. There are spiritual principles behind this. 2% is actually rounding it off. It's 1/40th, which is less than 2%. Less than 2%. But you take that and you say, God, I'm choosing to honor you with this because I believe the rest is going to come from you. I will teach it later. I have to emphasize this because some of you are hearing figures and you're like, what is that? I'll talk about the spiritual concepts next week. The week after, I mean. But here's what it is. A general calculation is a week's salary goes as a first fruit offering to the Lord. That's what 1/40th of your annual income would look like. Just take that and say, God, I want to honor you with this. We'll talk about that. This is not a mandatory offering. That's why there was no fixed amount to it. The rabbis taught that it's more the condition of your heart first. And I'll teach you the concepts before it is a calculated amount. If you are going to give and go complain about it, don't give it. Let's stand. So for those who need to budget, who are new to the church, that's what it would look like. But what it represents, I will teach you in 2 weeks' time so that you understand. These are difficult subjects. You all must pray for me. The eldership knows that I don't like teaching these things. Not because I don't believe in them. Because people misunderstand you. I told you last week, when you talk about finances, people hate you. Please greet me, okay, when you see me. I'm not after your money. Looking for money.